Good morning. Take your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. We're going to continue our little series. We've picked the series up again that we did in the summer called God is for Us, that phrase taken from Romans 8:31, God is for us. We're just unpacking ways that He is for us. In the summer, we saw various ways that God is for us in our salvation as we worked our way through, paragraph by paragraph, through Romans 8. Last Sunday, we saw how God is for us in creation, in the goodness of creation that God's built into it, and He's meant for us to enjoy it. And when we enjoy it, we're enjoying Him. And He's pleased. So today, I want to show you how God is for us in His commands. Tom's already read an awesome verse, set of verses from Psalm 119. Thank you, brother. Well chosen. And today I want to show you some texts from Deuteronomy. Moses is writing to the second generation of Israelites that have come out of the Exodus, the children of the ones who walked through the Red Sea. He's writing the book of Deuteronomy to them before they go into the promised land. He's telling them, reminding them, now these are not the ones who were at Sinai, their parents were, who heard God's law and entered into God's covenant, salvation covenant. This is their children who are about to go into the promised land. And he's telling them, before you go, now remember, Moses isn't going. It's another story, another sermon for another day. He's not going in, but he's calling the Israelites, the second generation, as they go into the promised land to follow the commandments of the Lord. The book of Deuteronomy is one long sermon preached all at one time. That's incredible. You think I preach long? Or at least I used to. Let's hope. I've had some doozies, haven't I, Tommy? Come on now. He's telling them this, and I'll say it to you. Obey. Follow the rules. Do what you're told. Is there anybody here that likes to be told that? Would you just raise your hand? I love to be told to obey. I love to be told, follow the rules. We all cringe a little, don't we? Especially if we're adults. Maybe we even feel a little chastened when we're told to obey the rules. Because often, what do we want to do? Well, we want to do something else, don't we? We want to do what we want to do. Not some, what somebody else tells us we have to do or else. In fact, some of us, we have this in our nature, don't we? We want to find out the or what else, right? What's the or else? What happens if I don't follow the rules? And we usually find out it's not so good. We all want to do what we think is best. And sometimes we think that means making our own rules. Sometimes that's the advice in the culture. Make your own rules. Because why do we want to do that? Is it just a rebellious streak in us, or is there something more? I'm persuaded that the reason we want to do our own thing and go our own way and make our own rules and do what we want to do is because at the root of it, we all want to live a good life. That's deep down. We all want to live a good life. All of us want to be happy. We all want to enjoy the good that life has to offer. And we don't want to feel restrained in that, do we? But if you really want to know how to live well, how to live a happy, free, spacious life. If you want to know how to live life at your best, at the best God intended, then I promise you, you want to know what God says about how to live the best possible life. You want to know what He says. Because He's the one who made us. And He's the one who made the world we live in. He's the one who situated us here. He's the one who's designed the world we live in, and he's designed us to live in this world so that our lives go well when we live according to how he's made us to live in this world he designed. Listen, I want to tell you something. God wants our lives to go well. He does. And he's crafted the conditions that are most suited for our well-being. Not only by putting us in a physical environment that in which our bodies are well-suited to survive, God's done that, yes, but God's also carefully designed the freedoms we are to enjoy and the restrictions that we're to respect. He's designed those too, in order for our lives to go well in this world. When Adam and Eve broke God's one rule, life became a tragic wreck. And we are still suffering under the broken mess they made with their sin. Can I get an amen? All because Adam and Eve didn't trust in the goodness of the boundaries God drew for them. The goodness of the boundaries. When we ignore God's rules, life gets harder, not better. And if we keep it up, life becomes a mess. And we've all made a mess in our lives, out of our lives, haven't we? Because we kept it up. And today, what I want to help you see is that God is for you, that God is for us, even in what he's commanded us to do. His commands are for our good. That's what I want to help you hear that today. May the Holy Spirit help us to hear that his commands are for our good and that they protect our lives from becoming a mess. So just two main ideas today, and we'll unpack them. Number one, God's commands are designed for our good. And now I want to take you to the text, Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. So navigate there, if you would, in your Bibles, your printed Bibles, or on your devices. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. God's commands are designed for our good. Listen to what God says through Moses to the Israelites. He says, be careful to obey all these words that I command you. Why? Look at the next phrase. That it may go well with you. Read that again. Be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever. When you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Now that verse, as I mentioned, was spoken to the Israelites just before they went into the promised land. But its truth and its promises are no less true for us right here today. It will only go well for us when we do what is good and right in God's sight. In other words, when we obey God's laws and follow God's commands, that's when it'll go well for us. When we obey God's laws, follow his commands. Because obeying God's laws and commands are a big part, not the only part, but a big part of how he's designed for us to live well in this world. So let me start to break this down a little bit further. Under number one, get this idea. God's commands are consistent with our design. Think about this. God's commands are consistent with our design. Pastor Eugene Peterson said this. I want you to listen to this quote. This is really insightful. Our lives are lived well only when they're lived on the terms of their creation. With God making us and us being made. With God loving us and us being loved. With God commanding us and us responding. Being a Christian means accepting the terms of our creation. Accepting God as our maker and as our redeemer, and growing day by day into an increasingly glorious creature in Christ. So if you want to know how to live well, you need to know that we were made to live life at its best when we obey God's laws and follow His commands. Those are the terms of our creation. It's a lot like how fish were made for living in water. They were made for this. A fish absorbs oxygen from water, not from air like we do. So a fish is only free if it's restricted to water. So if a fish is, quote, freed from the water and put out on the grass to explore, that fish's freedom to move and even its ability to live well is soon destroyed, isn't it? You don't help a fish by taking it out of the water. That's how you kill it. It was made to live in the water. Those are the terms of its creation. See, real freedom isn't restrictionless. Real freedom is in finding the right ones. In other words, good boundaries are good for us. Good boundaries are good for us. You know, thank God for guardrails on high bridges and dangerous mountain roads. Thank God for them, right? Second idea under number one, God's commands establish good boundaries. Good boundaries. Recently, back in September, Amanda and I were in Colorado, and we drove up Pikes Peak part of the way. They have little places to pull off and park and let the vans take you up further. The first parking lot was full, and Amanda was not happy. I mean, the views from Pikes Peak, 14,000 plus feet. We got pictures at the top. We're sweating at the bottom, freezing at the top. It's how high it is. You're above the clouds. The views going up that road are incredible. Colorado Springs is off in the distance. And the roads going up the mountain are really good. I mean, they're smooth. They're well maintained. But there are, I can assure you, some really scary drop-offs off the side of the road, especially in the curves. And I can also assure you that there are not near as many guardrails as there ought to be, as I would have liked. And if you don't maintain your speed, whether going up, especially coming down, Pike's Peak, if you don't maintain your speed, and if you don't stay away from the edge of that road, you can easily drive off the mountain. In fact, there was evidence in some places where people had just recently, we were told by the guides, had just recently driven off the mountain and were killed. God's laws are like that. God's laws and commands are good guardrails for our lives, especially in the turns, right? God's guardrails are designed to keep us safe. They're good boundaries designed to ensure that things go well for us and that we reach the destination. Listen to Psalm 128, verse 1. Just listen. The psalmist says, "Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, respects the Lord, reverences the Lord. Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways on His smooth, straight road." Happy is the person. You stay on the road, you stay happy. You enjoy the journey. You reach your destination. But if you veer off, if your car jumps the guardrails, you fall off the mountain, and then you are no longer living a happy life. Sin always leads you off the cliff. Always. G.K. Chesterton, a great writer, said, whenever you remove any fence, always pause long enough to ask why it was put there in the first place. You know, it's just like we use baby gates that keep our little ones from falling down the stairs. Isn't that a good boundary? Isn't that designed for your baby's good? Now, sometimes your little one can throw a fit about that boundary and once past it, right? There's something on the other side they just have to get to. They cry and melt down. Well, that's a good boundary. It keeps them safe. Listen, just like baby gates in front of the stairs, God's rules are not random. They're not random. And they're not mean. They're good. They're His good and wise design for our lives. You're a wise parent if you put up a baby gate in front of the stairs. Listen, God is for us. He wants our lives to go well. And that's why each and every command of God was designed for our good. Every one of them. Designed for our good. Number two. We enjoy what's good when we do what's good. We enjoy what's good when we do what's good. God's commands are not meant to keep us from experiencing what's good. See, some of us have a twisted up view of God about this. And I think all of us have some degree of this. Maybe we got it from watching other fathers. Maybe our own, maybe someone else's. Maybe we just are naturally cynical or pessimistic. I don't know. But I think deep down, because really of our sinful nature, we do have the tendency to think that God's really out to get us, that He hates us, and that He's said the things He's said, given the commands He's given, in order to make our lives a little more miserable, or a lot. I mean, that's as kids, we think that's what our parents are doing to us, right? You just don't love me. You just don't want me to have any fun. And we take that same thing and we project that on God. But God's commands and laws, they weren't invented to keep us from experiencing what's good. No, they were wisely crafted by the good heart of God to guide us to what's truly good, and to guard us from experiencing what is bad and what is evil and what is harmful and, yes, what is deadly, because sin is deadly. God's laws are meant to keep us from that. So let's take this in two directions. Under number two, obeying God brings blessings. Obeying God brings blessings. God designed it so that when we keep His laws and commandments, it benefits our lives. That's the way He designed it. That when we do what He says, it benefits our lives. Because His laws and commands are good in themselves. God's law in themselves are good. They are goodness expressed. They are not evil, they are not bad. God's laws are not harmful. Not one of the Ten Commandments or any of the other ones connected to them or are teased out by them in the rest of the Bible, none of them are evil. None of them are harmful. Have you ever thought about that? The goodness of God in each of the commands? I mean, God's laws are the complete opposite of harmful, the complete opposite of bad. The goodness of God's heart is built into every one of His laws and commands so that when we live them out, when we live in line with them, we get in on His goodness. His goodness is in the laws, and when we live in line with them, we get in on His goodness. See, trusting and obeying God always pays off. Always pays off. Now, I'm not telling you that it always pays off in the moment. Sometimes we have to wait. I mean, even now we're waiting for the coming day when our Lord appears in the sky and we see his face, right? And all our rewards come rushing in fullness. So we wait with hope, patient hope. But trusting and obeying God always pays off. And that also doesn't mean that trusting God and obeying God is always easy. You and I both know from experience that's not always true. Sometimes it's downright hard to obey God. Sometimes it can be an excruciating challenge to obey God. I mean, I think when I think about this, I think about the martyrs who, obeying God, went to the stake and were burned alive. You talk about an excruciating challenge to obey God. And somehow I'm just reading the words of a Scottish martyr this week from hundreds of years ago, saying, I don't go to the stake unwillingly. That's a level of devotion and trust in God's goodness that many of us would hope to be able to express if that day were to come upon us, right? Sometimes obeying God can mean an excruciating challenge, but do you know that God promises to bless us when we obey? He promises to bless us when we obey. Now, when we respond to God, his laws and his commands, when we respond to God with obedience, God responds with blessings. Now, let me be careful here. And I think I need to help us dismantle a false idea here. And when I say it, you're going to say, yeah, I would agree with that. But I think deep down, we live the opposite of this. When I say that when we respond to God in obedience, he responds to us in blessings, that does not mean that our obedience earns God's blessings. See, theologically we go, okay, yeah, that's right. But we often live like we do earn his blessings. I mean, deep down, it's not our default position to live the grace of the gospel. We are works-oriented. That is our default position. We are works-oriented people, okay? So let me be careful here. Let me tease this out. So when we respond to God with obedience, he responds to us with blessings. That does not mean that our obedience earns God's blessings, because our obedience to God does not mean that we deserve his blessings. There's the word. We often think we deserve his blessings because we've done something right. I've been faithful. I gave. I served. I loved that person who betrayed me. I deserve this blessing, God. No. Blessings are never earned. Hear me. Blessings are never earned. Blessings are always grace. Always grace. Blessings are a gift of God's grace. It's never earned. It's never deserved. Blessings are always given as a generous gift. See, our obedience doesn't earn us blessings. Hear me. Our obedience creates the conditions for God's blessings. It's like planting a garden. Like planting a garden. Planting seeds in a garden. You've plowed the dirt. You've hoed the rows. You've planted the seeds. Covered them up. You've watered them. Now you're waiting, right? Planting seeds does not guarantee you'll get vegetables. I mean, how many of us have planted seeds and gotten nothing? Just the act of planting the seed does not guarantee tomatoes and ears of corn. It doesn't guarantee it. But if you don't plant seeds, you won't get vegetables. You only reap if you sow, right? You only reap if you sow. But even when you do plant seeds, you realize that it's God who miraculously and mysteriously gives that seed life. All you did was stick it in the dirt. It's God. It's God who miraculously, mysteriously gives it life and makes it grow, and he's the one who causes it to bear fruit, you see. We plant, we water, finish it with me. God gives the growth. Even in evangelism, just because you share the gospel doesn't guarantee there's going to be a convert. That's God's work. But evangelism creates the conditions in which God gives the gift of faith to an unbeliever, right? Planting a garden doesn't guarantee growth, doesn't guarantee vegetables, but planting a garden creates the conditions for God to give the blessing of vegetables. Are you with me? So it is with obedience to God's laws and commands. Obedience is the garden we cultivate that creates the conditions into which God pours his blessings. And they're always a gift of his grace. You didn't earn them by your seed planting obedience. Do you see that? That's the gospel, by the way. Blessings are always a gift of his grace. Whenever God blesses you, whether big or small, whenever God blesses you, it is always a gift of his grace and therefore worthy of thanks for it, right? We never should ever get a blessing and go, yeah, I deserve that. I was waiting on you, God. They're always a gift of his grace. But here's the other thing. God loves to bless us. He takes pleasure in it. He loves to. But you know why? Because he loves you. And God is for you. So, obeying God brings blessings. But next, sinning brings burdens. Disobeying God's laws and commands brings miserable consequences. And sometimes we live in such denial of these consequences, don't we? We live in such denial. Because we don't want to admit that our sinning is what brought on the consequences, the misery. But you know what it's like? Sinning and living with the consequences. Sinning is living against the terms of our creation, right? We weren't made for that. We were made for obeying God's commands, for living within the guardrails. But sinning is a lot like this. It's like someone whose body has a peanut allergy. I know some of you in here, you have a peanut allergy. But it's like someone having a peanut allergy, but taking the risk of eating peanut butter. Maybe you're tired of having this allergy. You're tired of people telling you. You're tired of people keeping it. It smells so good, and you take the risk of eating it. You just have to have some. And you realize the first time you have it, it tastes really good. Until that allergic reaction hits your throat and it swells tight and you are panicking to breathe. Feeling like the life is getting strangled out of you, like you're going to die. Because you know some people do die from that. So you know what people with peanut allergies do? For their own good, they set boundaries. They set boundaries that are for their own good. They stay away from peanuts. Why? They know it might kill them. And that's what sin does to us. Sin tastes so good sometimes, but it makes us miserable before it ultimately kills us. That's how it works. And God's laws and God's commands are the good boundaries he's designed for our lives to go well. We have a sin allergy, and yet we keep doing it. We're our own worst enemy. God's boundaries are good. He's designed our lives to go well. So choose life. If you're in Deuteronomy still, go to chapter 30. Go to chapter 30. Look at verses 15 through 19. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 19. God says, you have a choice. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 says, see, I have set before you today life and good on the one hand, and death and evil on the other hand. Verse 16, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, well, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you. Go to verse 17. But if your heart turns away, and you will not listen, and you are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today, you shall surely die. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live. Sin always ruins our life. Sin, you know what it is? It's our misguided pursuit of happiness outside of God's good design for us. It's misguided. We're pursuing happiness somewhere else. Sin always, it always tempts us to be suspicious of God's goodness. Yeah, well, God says do this, and that he says that's good. But man, that over there, that sin, that outside, what he's forbidden, that looks better. And we're suspicious of his goodness. And we're suspicious of God's motives. And we're suspicious of God's words. Just like the serpent caused Adam and Eve to be in the Garden of Eden. He made them suspicious of God and his goodness. But you know, I'm thankful that our Lord Jesus Christ, he overcomes our suspicions by offering us reconciliation to God and happiness in him. He offers that to us through his death, burial, and resurrection, through faith in him, following him. Follow me, he says. I'm the way. The way, the truth, the life. The way is the pathway. That's the Greek word idea. It's the path. I'm the way to walk in. Happy is the person who fears the Lord, right? Who walks in his ways. Jesus Christ is the way to reconciliation with God and happiness in God. This is exactly why Jesus had to die. Because our sins are why he had to die for us. Not for him, for us. He died to deliver us from sin's wreckage, sin's burdens, the wreckage of our lives. He died to deliver us from that. He died to overcome the death that sin always results in. He overcame it. Jesus died to deliver us from sin and death. And trusting in Jesus means believing that his motive for dying for us was love for us. That's what it means, believing. He did that because he loves me. That's his motive. And that he did it in order to restore our lives, not make them worse. He died to restore the wreckage of our lives. And he died to set our feet on the path that leads to happiness and peace with him. Sin has the complete opposite effect of everything that Jesus came to do. It's the complete opposite effect. Sin always damages us. Jesus restores us. Sin damages us. Sin makes us miserable. Jesus gives joy and peace, not like the world gives. One more quote from Peterson. Obeying God's commands is only common sense. People who are always breaking the rules, trying other roads, attempting to create their own system of values and truth from scratch, spend most of their time calling up someone to get them out of trouble and help repair the damage. And then they ask the question, what went wrong? If you go against the grain of creation, you get splinters. In other words, this blunt Texan would tell you, sin is stupid. Ask me how I know. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants to be blessed. Everyone wants to be blessed. But too many people are willfully refusing to pay attention to the one who wills our happiness and who has clearly told us how to live in happiness. And too many people are ignorantly supposing that the Christian way is the harder way to get what they want than doing it on their own. That's ignorant. And they accuse the Christian faith of interfering with what they consider to be their innocent pleasures and their innocent desires. Christianity just interferes with all that. They're so wrong. We are so wrong about that. The Christian faith is the way that leads to redemption. God's ways and God's presence are where we experience happiness that lasts. That's where it's at. God's ways, God's presence. And that leads me to the last thing under this second point, that God's commands are not burdensome. God's commands are not burdensome. I take that sentence from the Apostle John, who wrote that to the saints in 1 John 5. Let me read it to you, the first three verses. Just listen. Verse 1 and 3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. I'm thankful that it's that simple. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever's been born of him. And then he says this, for this is the love of God. Receiving it and showing it. It's in both. Both are in view here. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. You understand he said that in the terms of God's love for us. That's what keeps him from being burdensome, right? His goodness. Listen. When you've been redeemed by the love of Jesus, when by faith in Jesus Christ, you know you've become a child of the living God, a child that he loves, when you know that he's brought you into his salvation, you don't look on God's commandments as a burden to be borne. You don't look at it that way. You no longer consider God's commands as a burden to living a happy life than a person would consider hugs and kisses and Valentine's gifts to be a burden to a happy romance. When you know you've been loved by God, you find yourself happy. And you find yourself happily wanting to please the one who has been so sweetly good to you. Plus, it's no burden to do what's good for yourself. It's no burden to do what's good for yourself. Not to mention what's pleasing to the one who loves you more than all. It's no burden. It's no burden to make the one you love happy. The burden is in breaking God's commands. And when we do, maybe you've never thought of this, but when we break his commands, we're breaking his heart. We break God's heart with our sin. And in the process, we are breaking down our own happiness. And that is the burden. That is the burden. Listen, the Christian way is not the harder way. It's the easier way. What did Psalm 128:1 say? Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Happy is the one who walks in his ways. That's the easy path. And then you begin, when you experience that, you begin to say what Tom read from Psalm 119 this morning. Your heart begins to say it just spontaneously. Oh, I love your laws. They're so good, God. They're so wise. Why do I ever break them? Listen, we get to the happiness of God when we follow the ways of God. One more verse. Turn backwards to Deuteronomy 28. Actually, two verses here. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. In this section, Moses is spelling out to the Israelites very specific blessings and curses on them if they will obey or disobey. If they obey, certain blessings will come to them. And if they disobey, certain curses will come to them. At the beginning of the chapter, it says this, and I love this. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. This is God speaking through Moses. If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commands that I command you today, watch what this says at the end of verse 2. Blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Have you ever seen that before? It will overtake you. If we obey God's ways, his blessings will run after us. They will chase us down and they will overtake us. That's what he's saying. Are you starting to believe this yet? Are you starting to believe it yet? That God loves you? That he is for you? That he's running after you? And that he is relentless in pursuing you? Are you starting to believe this yet? I hope so. Because all of that is true. And it's all true, not because of you and your obedience, not because of you and your goodness or your devotion, whatever. It's all because of Jesus' commandment-keeping life. It's all because of Jesus' sin-conquering death. And it's all because of Jesus' death-defeating resurrection. And we get in on the conditions of God's blessings and God's goodness when we come into Jesus, when we believe in him. And you're being invited into him right now, into God's goodness, into God's blessings, into God's happiness, into God through Jesus Christ. So thank God. Give thanks right now for the goodness of God and even for the fullness of our salvation. Let's do that right now in prayer. Let's do that. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the goodness that is in you. We thank you and praise you for your good heart, God. And frankly, we couldn't imagine you being anything other than good. It would scare us to death to think that you could be evil, that you could do bad, that you would wish us harm. Thank you that you love us with a relentless love, unconditional love. Thank you that you are for us and you've even built your goodness and your for usness into your good commands, your laws, your guardrails and boundaries. The good you've called us to do, to walk in your ways. Thank you that you put your goodness in them. And that when we follow them, you add to that goodness more blessings, goodness from your heart. Help us to start believing that you really do love us. God, give us the grace to enter into the happiness that comes from knowing we are yours, we are safe. You've given your Son to deliver us from our sin and our boundary breaking, our transgressions. And if you gave your Son for us, you will never let us slip from your hands. You will never cast us aside. You will never throw us away like trash in the gutter. You only hold us close to your heart. And you only ever desire and will for us your goodness and blessings. So, Father, I ask that you would take Holy Spirit's power now to write your commands on our heart. Lord, I pray that you would do that this morning for someone for the very first time, that they would put their faith in the Savior Jesus Christ to deliver them from their sin and their law-breaking and their stupidity, just like you've done for many of us, forgiving us of our foolishness and our sinfulness and our rebellion. Would you write your law on their hearts? And Lord, would you make us alive again to how you've written your good law on our hearts? Teach us to be careful to obey, to want to please the one who loves us more than all. And I pray that you would, by your grace, give us an entrance into a life of that Hebrew word, shalom, wholeness, restoration, peace, fullness, a free and spacious life inside your boundaries. Like a fish that stays in water and survives and thrives. Help us, Lord, to swim in the waters inside the restrictions you've given us and find in that the joy of the Lord, peace from above, and blessings and goodness that we can't even contain. And would you put in our mouths this good news to tell the world about it, how good you are, God, and invite them in to the good salvation, the love of your heart through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we ask it. Amen.